Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord. Stay tuned for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
I had a scripture come to me earlier in the week, and I just kind of, it's come back a few times, and I thought about it, and it seems like every time I tried to focus on it, it just kind of, you know, the Lord didn't let me sit there and get it organized. But anyway, I'm just going to go ahead and start and trust the Lord to make something out of this. But anyway, Paul was writing to Timothy late in his ministry. Timothy was a young man who had been saved and raised up under Paul's ministry, and God had specifically given him a gift, and it was by prophetic laying on of hands. He was given a gift, and he was often the one that was sent by Paul to go help somebody where Paul couldn't get there. And so, but now Paul is getting later in his ministry, later in his life, and he's thinking about the future too. And so that plays into this. And so Paul is wanting to give him instruction that will keep him on course. Because the truth of the matter is, you know, a lot of what Reed said is stuff that I would have to echo. It's awful easy for us to get in a rut, get in form, think everything's, you know, just all we have to do is just keep doing what we're doing, everything's cool. And that's not the way it is in God. And that's the quickest way to slide backwards. Because the truth is, if we're not going forward, we're not just sitting still, we're sliding backwards in many ways. And I believe the Lord has so much more for us, and that's what he's concerned about here. And so the verse that came to me is one we're all familiar with. In fact, I doubt I'm going to say anything you haven't heard many times, but I suspect that we need it. Anyway, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul is beginning to wind up his letter of instruction to Timothy. And in verse 12, he says this, "Fight the good fight of the faith, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses." All right, so obviously this young man had, when he was young, he came to the Lord and everybody witnessed this. But now there's an instruction to him. Now, in the first place, it sounds a little kind of crazy because don't we get eternal life when we come to the Lord? I mean, the answer is yes. If we're born again, if we're truly born again of His Spirit, not just a religious profession, not something just that's purely religious or self-effort, but if this is a time when God brings us to that point and He imparts His Spirit to us, we have eternal life. And there is a life that cannot perish. But here He's saying, lay hold. That sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? Now, also, is eternal life a gift or not? Yeah, it's a gift. Well, how do you fit that together with having to fight for it? You know, I believe God wants to give us a deeper picture of what it means to serve Him. And Timothy needed to have a fresh reminder. Evidently, the Lord wanted to remind Timothy, but because this was recorded for us, it was recorded for me this morning. How about you? In the first place, I think we know, if we're honest, that the Christian life is a fight. God has absolutely put us in a place where if we're going to serve Him in a world that hates Him, the spirit of this world is against Him, things we've said many times, but it's worse than that, that every part of my natural being, my body, this body I got to live with until He... Praise God for what happened to Jackie today. She's free. How many of you, you know, wish you could take her place in a way? But yet God has got us here. And so part of His order is that we learn to lay hold of what He has given to us, and we learn to not just receive it and then, okay, I just stick a ticket to heaven in my back pocket and go on about my life. But there are things that God wants us to be able to take hold of. And, you know, I thought about so many ways, and this is going to come across certainly as unorganized, and that's all right. But you think about the picture we have of somebody who has inherited a tremendous amount of money, I was going to say $1 million. That's not so much anymore. But anyway, let's suppose someone inherits $1 million. But suppose it's locked away in the bank somewhere. And they sit there and they rejoice in their riches and how wonderful it is. But they live homeless. You know, there's people like that in this crazy world. But I wonder if we're honest how much we're like that. You know, how many times does the Lord emphasize that he has given us everything? He who spared not his own son but gave him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? But I wonder how many of those all things we actually walk in and experience in a practical sense. And the reality is we can fall into exactly what Reed was talking about, where we just get complacent. We get involved in whatever earthly activities we have. The truth of the matter is we are far more in harmony and in contact, I should say, with the world than we realize. And it affects us more than we realize. And here's the Lord looking down and knowing all of this, you know, what's a God to do? When he sees us in the condition that we're in, he's got to do something if he's going to fulfill his plan. He longs to share all of these, the riches of glory with us. But here we are without realizing it many times. We're just bopping along, leaning on human wisdom, human energy, more in harmony with what the world says and how we feel. You know, it's an endless list. You know what Billy just shared is absolutely part of it, because there are times when in the wisdom of God, he wants us to wait on him. Well, there's a fight involved in that, because we don't want to wait. We don't want to have to persist in believing God in the face of the absence of a seeming answer to a situation. The devil is going to sit there and plop all kinds of junk in our heads about it, and we're going to lean upon our own experience, which may include all kinds of things that aren't from God. We're going to feel our weaknesses. We're going to feel bad physically. There's a million and one things that absolutely get in our way when we're trying to serve God. And if we're going to make any progress, we're going to have to fight. Now, you know, we're very familiar with the scripture that Paul gives us about our warfare not being with flesh and blood and so forth. And he lists all the articles of armor, the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate, and so forth. All of those elements of armor. How many of you notice that most of that is defensive? Yeah. See, in other words, he's saying, I got all the protection you're going to need, so just... But the Christian life is not meant to be one of hunkering down and, you know, being like a turtle. Danger is coming. Or run to our cave or anything like that. We are meant to live real practical lives in which we need what he has. And so Paul is encouraging Timothy to lay hold of things. And, you know... There certainly are two very different extremes, many of them probably, but one of them certainly is the one where I'm saved, I got the ticket in my back pocket, and then, you know, life is life, and we're just going to live it and go to heaven one day. You know, surely we know the Lord has more for us than that. He means for us to grow up in our faith and to lay hold of a lot of things. But, of course, you got folks on the other end who think it's all about miracles. It's all about, you know, some grand thing. And God wants us to live, wants to give us a cushy life. Well, somewhere in the middle there, God has awesome things for us. He wants his body to grow up. He wants us to be filled with his Spirit. He wants us to have heavenly abilities that we use in harmony with him and in harmony with the body of Christ. All of those things are real. But how do we get there? And the truth of the matter is most of us are so, you know, hanging on for our dear life much of the time, just trying to get through and deal with our own little issues. And half the time, we're not even dealing with them. We're just sort of, well, that's just the way it is. You know, it's all taken care of. God's merciful. I'm glad for all of those truths, aren't you? But how many of you think the Lord just wants us to sort of give in, go along, sing the songs, do what we're supposed to do, go through the motions? Or how many of you think that God wants us to actually possess the things? You remember there's a King James translation of one of the Old Testament prophets. It spoke of a time when God's people would possess their possessions. And again, doesn't that sound like a contradiction in terms? If it's my possession, how could I not possess it? But the reality is we don't possess but a small fraction of what God has given to us, what he has promised us. And here is Paul feeling the need to tell Timothy, you need to fight. You've got a fight on your hands, and it's not just defensive. I don't want you to be a turtle. There are things that God wants to do in you, yes, but through you. And he wants you to learn how to lay hold of that for which, you know, without which you cannot do those things. Did not Jesus say in the parable of the, praise God, help me, the vine and the branches, John 15. Like I said, this is not organized. John 15. And he spoke of the relationship of how dependent we are, that the only way we can produce fruit is literally to be connected to him, right? In other words, what I need to produce fruit doesn't come from me. It's not there. Without me, he says, you can do what?
Nothing.
Man, we need to get a hold of that and realize that. But at the same time, we don't need to be discouraged by that and say, oh, well, I guess there's nothing I can do then. Because God wants us to be plugged in such a way that the life of God literally flows in. I need life that I don't have. It's out there. Praise God. Just like my physical body. What would happen if I just stopped eating and drinking? See, this nourishment that I need to sustain this. Well, I'll tell you, there's another kind of life, though, that we got from Adam. And it exists in these bodies and very, very closely tied to it. But there's a spiritual side to that, and boy, that gets nourished too, doesn't it? We're living in a world that is running as rapidly as it can away from God. I thank God that he has a people. I believe there is a harvest at the end of the age. Part of it is to get some ready for the fire, and part of it is to bring others into the kingdom. And I certainly want to be in harmony with whatever it is he wants to do. And boy, every natural part of me just wants to, you know, stick out my tongue and say, I'm tired. And I imagine, and everybody gets that way. Everybody deals with weariness. Everybody deals with discouragement. Everybody deals with opposition. But here's Paul saying, I don't want you to sit here and go into a defensive posture. I want you to absolutely lay hold of something, because God has called you to something. God has given you a job. Has not God given everybody a place in the body of that is a member of the body of Christ, a place? Doesn't he want to do stuff not just in you but through you? How do we do that? First of all is believing that's the way it is and seeking him and looking to him. But there is a fighting to get that to happen. We're going to have to come against the opposition of this. We're going to have to come against the opposition of the devil. You know, I started to talk about how the life of Adam gets nourished by the spirit of the world. Didn't Paul say that we're to present our bodies, that living sacrifice, and allow ourselves to be transformed? How? By the renewing of our mind? All these things, the scriptures we've heard so many times, they all play together. But the picture that's painted here is not just of something where it's, you know, this little quiet thing where we just spend time with the Lord and everything's great and grand. There is a fight to it. Yes. Think about the conquest of the land of Canaan. You know, I believe Reed mentioned the wilderness, and many times we feel like that's where we're at, and maybe we are. Maybe we need to be, to learn his ways and learn how to trust him. But there comes a time when God says, I have given you the land. Oh, okay, Lord, we'll just move in. But it didn't work that way, did it? Everything that God had given them was something for which they had to fight. And even in their fighting, they didn't do it their own way. They had to seek God and look to God, and God gave them victory, told them how to fight, where to fight, and went with them in the battle. That's what I need. I mean, what good does it do for God to say, this is what I want you to do? Well, great. How am I going to do that? It's not in me to do any of the things that God has called me to do or be. I have got to go to Him. You know, one thought I had was about all this was, it sounds exhausting. I've just got to fight. But you know the first thing that I need from the Lord when it comes to fighting? I need His strength to fight. You know what we've said so many times about commands and promises. Everything the Lord tells us to do is really a promise to help us do it if only we're willing. That's something to remember, isn't it? Everything God commands us to do is really a promise to help us do it if only we're willing. You know, the first thing many times is just to come and just look to the Lord and draw near to Him and praise Him and thank Him, often in the face of opposition from within and from without. Think of what Paul went through to accomplish what God had given him. And it wasn't just the stuff out there he had to deal with. Paul had to deal with the same stuff in here that you and I do. This constant warfare, and yet this is what God has called us to do. Somehow, this is God's plan for growing up and developing the character of this new life that He's given to us. But boy, that life is like a stream from heaven. It's pictured in so many ways in the Scriptures. The river of life is God, is a picture of God's life. How many of you need more of that? Yeah, I do too. I need His life. I need more of Him in me, because then I can begin to think like He thinks. I can begin to act and react like He reacts and acts. And He can tell me to do stuff, and I'm not running ahead like Peter and figuring I can do it on my own. I know I need Him. And I'm looking to Him. There's this hand-in-glove relationship where there's this, you know, like Ricky has talked about in the past, this conversation, this sense of walking with Him. Isn't that, Jesus is the perfect example. He didn't do anything based on human wisdom or human energy. He just simply depended on His Father, and His Father gave Him everything He needed. And it was God's life manifest in Him. If we're going to be anything to each other, if we're going to be anything to the world and to people that God wants to reach, it's not going to be us selling people on our religion. God help us. I don't want a religion that needs to be sold. I want Jesus. I want Jesus to be living in here in such a way that that's what they see. We need Him, don't we? Praise God. You know, I mentioned how so many of the things that people are seeking God in some circles are seeking God for are really kind of the same things that the world is after. The prosperity gospel is an example of that, where this is what God has for you if you'll just only believe Him. Well, I thank God that He can bless and He can minister, He can do all kinds of things in the natural realm. But listen, but back up a verse in 1 Timothy chapter 6, and let's find out what Timothy was told to go after. And this comes in the context of people who thought that serving God meant they were going to get a lot of money. They thought gain was godliness. And he said, Paul said, godliness with contentment is great gain. Praise God. We can trust God in those areas. But here's one of those buts that comes, it begins in the context of that, or people who look, their focus in life is on what they can get here. But you, man of God, flee from all of this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Praise God. That sounds like, that's character stuff, isn't it? Think about how we live and react Think about how many times, you know, something happens and you say something. Something comes out of your spirit. Is it Jesus? See, now it's quiet. How many of us could say that going through every day that all of our feelings, our thoughts, our actions, our reactions to things that happen, things that people say, things that people do, oh, it just comes, it flows right straight out of the heart of God. We never say a cross word, never have an evil, a bad thought, never get angry, never. You suppose we might need just a little bit more than we got? You think the Lord has more for us than where we're at right now? Well, here's Timothy, obviously well on into his ministry, and what is it that Paul's encouraging him to do, to seek? Pursue righteousness. Now, it's interesting, that word pursue, I looked a couple of these up just to see what they, you know, what the original word was. I don't even remember, I couldn't tell you what it is, literally. But it's an interesting word in this respect. It's used in two very different senses. One of the uses is persecute. When Paul was Saul the Jew going around trying to arrest Christians and get a hold of them, there was a pursuit there, but it was a persecution. And literally it meant to pursue somebody. This is what my life is about. This is the conviction that motivates me to action. But now here is Paul using the same word to say, there's something else you need to be pursuing. It needs to have that same conviction that drives us to action, is what he's saying. Pursue this. It's the same word, I believe, that he uses in Philippians 3, the scripture we use so many times. I press forward. This is what I'm after. I pursue this one thing. I press. And again, you have this sense that there's opposition. May God give us the grace to constantly, instead of just settling, instead of saying where I'm at is okay, to recognize that God is at work to change us, and he's changing us so he can use us. How can we be what God has called us to be in this hour if we just sleepwalk through it and we accept where we're at right now? And we don't mind getting angry. We don't mind getting upset. We don't mind blowing off steam and thinking about this and all engrossed in that and just somehow disconnected from him. When God is wanting us to say, wait a minute, I need him.
This has been the Midnight Cry broadcast. If you would like a DVD or CD of today's message in its entirety, please request it by program number. While it is not required, a donation of $10 for DVDs and $5 for CDs is suggested to help with expenses. Also, for those who request it, we will send you our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, free and postage paid. Send your requests to Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina, 28388. We invite you to join us again next week at the same time, and may God richly bless you until then.